Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Eat, Sleep, Suplex Retweet.
So glad we made it. Time will never change it. And that's what it would sound like if one of the Space Girls had a severe cold when they were recording that song. That's also the song that we played first retirement of several thousand of the GOAT, David Campbell. Welcome, everybody, to Saturday Draft Live, episode 170. Can you believe that? 170 episodes. Your host, one of your hosts today, at least Scott McLeod. And if you don't follow me on Twitter, then I'll screw you. It's at Scott McLeod 1996. You may not have seen, I announced that this will be my last episode of Saturday Draft Live as a host. I mean, I may pop up going forward if people, the guys want me on to talk about my team. If I do particularly well in future seasons, I'll still be a draft competitor. I just won't be part of Saturday Draft Live anymore. You know, I just feel like nothing lasts forever. You know, all good things come to an end, so my time with you comes to an end, but men like this man will help carry it forward. The so-called stats man, even though he reads numbers that someone else put up. And I'll never let that go. David Hockney.
Yeah, you need to learn how to let things go. It's just a part of life, and it just doesn't help anybody in the long run. I've been in that position before, but you're right, yeah. Sometimes you just got to let it go. It's sad that we're coming to an end of another season, and you know, it's a shame that today's going to be your last hosting gig as well. It's been a hell of a run. You've been here since day one as H. You carried us through 16 seasons of the show. From the days of, you know, keeping it short and sweet to the extensive analysis to the live shows to the team reveals, it's definitely one of the OGs. And now you join the GOAT David Campbell as inducted into the SDL Hall of Fame, shall we say.
Me and David Campbell will both get shipped off to a farm where we can run around and be free with other SDL hosts. If that's what your parents say. We've been doing this show, like, I've been on the show longer than COVID's really been a thing. Like, we were doing the first episode in, like, November of 2019. So, sometimes you just need to let things go. And, you know, I'll be on other shows. I'll be on Central. I'll be on East Meets West. So, you know, I'm not as if I'm leaving forever. But, you know, time for a new chapter, as I said, with the Saturday Draft Live. And, you know, well, it's almost like the universe was conspiring against me, because not only is this my last show, but tomorrow we're doing, you and I, David Hayne, partner, a very worthwhile steps challenge at Hampden for charity. And the universe has conspired against me to make me feel like crap physically and make me sound the absolute worst I could possibly sound on my last show for recording. So, fuck you, karma, or whatever it is that's causing this to me.
But listen, no more doom and gloom. Shall we talk about WrestleMania?
Yes, WrestleMania. WrestleMania, so big you need two nights, but you're not getting two nights of analysis, just getting the one and liking it. We go to the top three of the week. Number three, with 10 points ahead of his, what David Campbell said would probably be the work rate match of WrestleMania 39, well, whatever night it's on, and I agree with him. Seth Rollins is going to take on Logan Paul, and I think Seth, David's clear, he's starting to get back to he's starting to get back to that level he used to be at, because in the first few seasons, he was just a dominant presence in this draft, but he kind of fell because he was always used to help elevate other guys. But I think winning the US title a few seasons ago, he really started that climb back up.
Yeah, so he's going to be on night two of WrestleMania, I believe, and he has, along with Orange Cassidy, has kept Team Transatlantic Heartbreakers afloat, and he's again contributing to how far they've climbed up the table from, because I remember at the start of the launch party, Transatlantic Heartbreakers were going to be the ones finishing last, but boy, have they proved me wrong, with Orange Cassidy obviously leading the charge, but Seth Rollins now broken into the top 10 of the season with 32 points overall, and I am predicting a win for Seth Rollins at Mania as well, given the status of Logan Paul's contract is going to be coming up after Mania. So, and Ross and I discussed this on Central the other day. I think Rollins definitely does need the win more at Mania, given how many guys he's put over. But sure, he may not have scored as highly as previous seasons, because there have been times where he's been leading the charge. But he's been that constant factor throughout this draft. You know, a very reliable points getter. The crowd absolutely love him. And he's effectively contributed to the rise of the Transatlantic Heartbreakers up the table throughout the entire season.
Yeah, absolutely. He's number 10 in the top 10 of the season overall with 32 points, just 2 points behind Austin Theory. And I agree with you. I do see a win for Seth Rollins at WrestleMania because, well, one, he's not had one in a few years. And also, it makes sense with the story for Logan. He kind of, he's suited in this heel role, so the heel gets his comeuppance. Also, he's probably going to continue to have these sporadic appearances because, as much as he loves being a part of the WWE, if he's going to continue doing it, he's also got his other interests that he's working on. And also, I don't think WWE want to overexpose Logan by his on-screen persona, because I think they want to get the most out of him every time he shows up. I imagine if he goes away, we might not see him back to maybe the Saudi shows because he's probably very big over there. But
yeah,
speaking of WrestleMania potential work rate matches, another contender for a work rate match is the man who's holding the work rate title, my captain and Ross's captain, on 11 points, Gunther. I believe he had a match on Rogers randomly against like Dolph Ziggler. So I'll probably take that. I'll probably watch Dolph Ziggler sell one of Gunther's chops. And then I'll say he just stood there while his boys got beat up by Sheamus and Drew, but I still see Gunther coming out of this with the title, and I'm actually needed to win Almania for me and Ross, because I think everybody, as much as they love Drew and Sheamus, especially the story of Sheamus's like road to get that Grand Slam, a lot of people agree that Gunther's one of the best IC champions in a while, and more than worthy of breaking that Honky Tonk Man record.
Oh yeah, I mean, Gunther, again, has been another constant in this draft. He was the third selection overall following the two Royal Rumble winners. He currently sits fifth overall, just 1 point behind Orange Cassidy, who's on 47. 46 points overall for Gunther. And, yeah, like you said, the win on Raw gets him on the table this week, and appearances backstage by watching the Imperium tag team match at the correct angle for the TV as well, more or less. So, but yeah, we have discussed, you know, is there the possibility that Gunther could eclipse the Honky Tonk Man's reign? I'd be happy if he does. But at the same time, I think he's also in a position to potentially go after the Universal title if they decide to split them post-Mania. So there's definitely a number of options for Gunther to go down. But either way, I can see him being a very high draft selection come next season, probably. I think he's guaranteed to be a first-round selection next time around.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was a first-round selection for me and Ross. I think even though we were worried about what his main roster run would be like, I think since his call-up to the main roster, his stock in this draft has just continued to rise, and I don't see it anytime soon, regardless of whether or not he walks out of WrestleMania as Intercontinental Champion. He is fifth overall this season on 46 points, just 1 point behind Orange Cassidy, International Champion now. I think with a win at Mania, he would overtake Cassidy and maybe go up to fourth overall in the season. Yeah. But then we got to number one. Adrenaline in my soul at the top of it's Cody Rhodes. Well,
you saved it.
And now that you mentioned it, I said I need to leave my fuck up in there. So thanks for that, Dave. On that thing. But yeah, I mean, it was really a pick-in between him and Rhea. Like, you knew when you guys were picking second that, you know, David, the Goat's Incarnate, Goat Tones 2.0, whatever the fuck you want to call them. Basically the same thing. Woody, I've got to get one last dig at David Campbell while I'm here. Between Rhea and Cody, like, you knew that the lead-up to WrestleMania, they would both be kind of high point scorers, but I think it's just a case that Cody, in the last few weeks, he's just across Raw and SmackDown, he's just picked up these wins against, like, Ludwig Kaiser, LA Knight. He just done this, you know, he wants to get some reps in before media, and that's really helped you guys in the two-horse race at the top against Goat's Incarnate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he also got a win over Solo Sikoa on Raw as well, ending his undefeated streak, which is quite surprising, if I'm being honest, you know, to have Solo's run in so abruptly. But at the same time, it makes Cody look like a threat going into Mania. But then again, I think a lot of people have seen Cody as a legitimate threat to Roman for this title match. But me and Gary are very, very pleased with how Cody has performed all season long. He's now, with those 12 points this week, he actually now sits at the top of the table with 70 points overall, just 1 point above Asuka, who had an outstanding Elimination Chamber performance this season. But, you know, it just goes to show, you know, during a season where the Elimination Chamber is involved and one participant runs amok throughout the chamber, it does take a very, very strong performer that season to overtake somebody who's been top of the table for the majority of the season. So it's and it would be just the cherry on top to see Cody walk away with the Undisputed Universal title and have Men on a Mission 2.0 win the tag team season 2 years in a row and be solidified as ESSR's greatest tag team. Not the Goats Incarnate, not the Goat Tones, and nobody else is going to fit that slot.
You know, there are some tag teams who never needed to win tag team titles, and they're often fondly remembered. I'm just not mentioning any names. Cough, cough, Mick Lopez with cheese. Anyway, but yeah, it's weird because, like, Rascal was a presence before the Chamber and seemingly stopped wrestling, whereas Cody, like, since the Chamber, maybe to be on the seaside with Peckendry, just continued to wrestle, which is obviously those constant wins on TV would really help you guys. And we'll go to the final leaderboard before WrestleMania. We got Grant McRobbie and Quacker Aji, I think, where we originally said they would be, but at least they're in triple digits. Wait, Alba Good Graps 2.0. It's just as doomed as the original Alba Good Graps on 116 points. Me and Ross are in it now. 131 points. Looking to turn that around with a couple of title wins at WrestleMania. Andy and Steve in the morning. 147 points, 1 point behind a pair of fannies, Jack and Ryan Douglas. Is the best they've been all season. All that talk for Ryan, like, oh no, I'm not being nice, but I can't see anyone past any of us, so there's at least three people past you, Ryan, you dick. The Transatlantic Heartbreakers on 154 points. Would a Seth Rollins wouldn't help them move it to second? I don't know, because 4 points ahead of him on 158 points is Goats Incarnate, but then a gap has opened. 181 points at the top is the Men on Mission 2.0. How can they keep that gap open? We'll talk about representation at WrestleMania for both teams in a little bit. But first, Dave, for the final time, please, the one thing I'm not going to miss, please bore me to death with the Listeners League.
All right, so we have our Listeners League top five, and let me tell you, there has been a bit of a shake-up in the standings. We've got effectively five-horse race now. So, fifth place this week, we have Ross McCluckie with Los Ingobernables de Jamon on 193 points. Fourth place, just 1 point ahead of him on 194, we have Lee McAteer with big points. Certainly is big points if you're sitting in the top five there. So, well done, genius. And being knocked out of number one position, as he was 2 weeks ago, he's now dropped to third on 205 points. It's Ross Brady with the Big Banger Bros theory, overtaking him to second place. 207 points is Gary Morris with Banger Brothers and Sisters, but 1 point ahead, this is going to be a very, very close race. Top of the table going into WrestleMania, it's John Sly, 208 points, Judgment Day 1-ish. But there is something else we need to discuss, and that is the Listeners League Cup. So it all comes down to the final showdown between previous winner Matt Smith and up-and-comer Tam McKay. So at the minute, we've received a score update from Stephen. The score is currently Matt Smith 38, Tam McKay 47. So it's a 9-point gap between them. Tam McKay has the advantage going in to the standings. But looking at Matt Smith's team, we have his captain is Rhea Ripley, who is favoured to win the SmackDown Women's title. He has the Usos, which will probably, at this stage, it's looking unlikely they're going to retain the tag team championships. But he also has Paul Heyman, who probably will make a few appearances throughout the weekend. But that is his only WrestleMania representation thus far. If we look at Tam's team, though, he also has Rhea Ripley, the Usos, but he also, very crucially, has Dominic Mysterio, who's his team captain. In addition to supporting him, he also has Solo Sikoa and Io Sky, along with Adam Pearce. So Tam McKay, very much a WWE-heavy team with some representation going into Mania. I think the only way he's going to get through this is if Dominic Mysterio gets the win and Damage Control gets the win. But a Rhea Ripley win would certainly contribute to that as well. So I think at this stage, the favourite to win the Listeners League Cup is Tam McKay, not only because he has a lot more representation for the WrestleMania card in his team, but he's also leading by a fairly decent margin. So I think it's safe to say Tam McKay is going to be the favourite to win the Listeners League Cup and join the Listeners League next season.
Well, bully for him, you know. Can I cope for you, Tam? On to WrestleMania. Before WrestleMania, just a quick mention about NXT Stand and Deliver. Only people have picks on there. You got Drew Tyler Heartbreakers do have Roxanne Perez, who mysteriously is good to go ahead of Stand and Deliver. So she will technically be defending the title. Tail's not officially vacated anymore. She revealed the reason she fainted because of anxiety, which she now has to overcome. I do still have a story, but thanks for revealing that after we talked about the possibility of her coming back on Central. So,
listen, don't be dissing anxiety here, okay? It's a real thing. Like,
I'm not dissing anxiety. I suffer from it as well, but I'm dissing the way NXT is portraying anxiety. Like, I was so anxious. She was so anxious about a match that she won, that she then collapsed. It was the way that they portrayed it. And they, like, this is written by Shawn Michaels. I don't know what, I'm not getting to Shawn Michaels here, but anyway, Shawn Michaels' writing has been very questionable recently, I'm just saying. But so the way she's come back, it really feels like she's set up for a win in that ladder match. So there's 10 points going. So even before Mania started, Randall Addit Heartbreakers could maybe leap over Coates Incarnate and placement for the leader.
They do.
In terms of that unsanctioned match, it's Stephen, Andy and Stephen who have Joey Guerrero against me and Ross, who have Grice and Waller. Let's see if anybody else has maybe Braun or Carmelo Hayes, which it'd be weird if they didn't. Because I don't think there's that much NXT representation this season.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
No, I don't think either of them have been selected, which is baffling as well, given how well Bron Breakers performed in the past. But I think we were all under the impression that I think Carmelo Hayes was going to be the favorite to win that match. But looking at the other standings for Stand and Deliver, I don't really see anybody else with any sort of major outstanding performance. I think we've all stuck to the main roster primarily. Yeah. So I think Transatlantic Heartbreakers are probably in the best position to shoot up the table following Stand and Deliver. You and Ross, I mean, sure, you've got Grayson Waller, but even if he wins that, I don't think it's going to affect the standings, given that you're pretty close to the bottom. Andy and Steven, I think, would rather want our Gargano win to sort of muddy the waters a bit between the battle for the mid of the table.
I mean, wouldn't move us up that much, but then don't forget that across both nights we have two title matches on WrestleMania, me and Ross, one of them being our casual, also being good through each triple threat. We also have Austin Theory who will open mm-hmm. up the event night one, as we quickly uncovered Arias as our central, as you guys did. So Austin Theory and Gunther, me and Russell Hoban will just leave us in the middle point of the table. That way I'd be happy with that at this point. You know, as long as we can overtake somehow by the pair of fatties, because well, they are fatties. But that's our main representation, I think, on WrestleMania, whereas the guys who are below us, Kwaku and Grant, they did have Bobby Lashley, so they are one of the main guys to benefit from last night's SmackDown. So Bobby mm-hmm. Lashley, the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, and he has said on a Twitter-exclusive video for WWE that I'm free Saturday and Sunday, basically implying that he might call someone out on one of the nights, so there's a chance that Bobby Lashley has an open challenge at WrestleMania.
Well, night two only has 6 matches scheduled, so I mean, there's every chance, you know, you'll probably call somebody out on the Sunday, and then that makes it 7 matches per night, which effectively makes sense. You know, 7's a lucky number. Have it even for both nights, so it's like fairly well paced out across both sets.
Yeah, they also have the Uso, as we should mention, the Kwaku and Grant, and they also have Bailey, who will be in the Damage Control versus Becky in the Legends match later on. Mm-hmm. So I think they've got Becky, you and Gary have Io Sky. Mm-hmm. Boakai is... hold on, I'm looking.
They're on Parafani's. She's on Parafani's team.
Parafani's team. Who also randomly have Becky Lynch.
Oh, yeah, so their points will cancel out regardless in that instance.
Yeah. So really, it's you and Albuquerque 2.0 pretty much hoping for a Damage Control win in that stage.
Mm, both ends of the standings of the table. But, you know, we did discuss on Central, I think there is a potential for a heel turn on the face side, and Damage Control, I think, need a win over the Legends to re-establish themselves as the top women's stable. But mm-hmm. Io Sky, Dakota Kai, have both been pretty much underperforming this season, given, you know, they did so well from SummerSlam to Survivor Series and then just as well in the Royal Rumble season, but both of them scoring 10 points or less this season. A big win on Mania would be wonderful for them and wonderful for Men on a Mission.
We've already mentioned the Transylvania Heartbreakers because they have Roxanne and Seth Rollins as their main representation, unless Adam Pearce finally wants to pop up several times across both nights of WrestleMania. I don't see how much what more they can get at this stage. Andy and Steven do have, as we mentioned, Andy and Steven have Joey Gargano, as we mentioned, other than Darby Allin, who also won't be on the show. They have quite a bit of representation. They have Asuka challenging for the Roman's title night two. Got Sami Zayn. I imagine everyone really wants him and Kevin to win. Imperium, who will probably accompany Gunther to the ring. And he also has Liv Morgan, who will be teaming with you, why your picks, Raquel Rodriguez in the Women's Showcase match. And
Tsunami, she got a win this past week on SmackDown as well in the Fatal 4-Way singles match. So if that's the win that helps us, you know, confirm the victory, David Campbell is going to be fuming, given how much, you know, he shat on our selection of Raquel Rodriguez as a second-round pick.
Well, I wouldn't get so happy because they're clearly not winning. I mean, you've got Ronda and Shayna, and this is basically get Ronda and Shayna on the card and give them a win, because you never, when Ronda, because when Ronda Rousey's on the card, don't bet against Ronda Rousey, because WWE for reason why to have her win all that bloody time. But
one thing I should mention though is there haven't been a lot of captaincy changes this season, and one thing to note is I think I believe Transatlantic Heartbreakers have Seth Rollins as their team captain. A little bit surprised that they didn't change. Well, I'm surprised they didn't change to Roxanne Perez before Monday, but then again, she wasn't announced to be in the ladder match until literally the go-home show, so I don't think they were sort of putting a bit of a bind for that. So let's just call it Shawn Michaels' NXT booking has kind of screwed over the Transatlantic Heartbreakers a little bit.
I love how you posed the question and then immediately answered your own question.
It's called thinking out loud. Like, I do that a lot.
No, it's like, I don't know why they didn't do this. Well, then, well, there is this thing. Like, well, yeah, that'd be it, Columbo. Yeah. Asuka and Sami Zayn, I think those are their best chances for Andy and Stephen. Obviously, Sammy, a lot of people want this story to end, but not as many people confident in Asuka getting the win. I think Asuka's going to win, but where do you stand on Asuka's chances against Bianca?
See, I said this on Central. This is the match that's really got me split on, because I reckon this one could go either way between Bianca and Asuka. I said to Ross on Central, I've reluctantly gone with Bianca here because I think they'll want to continue this lengthy run to the point where Asuka is fully turned heel and fully embraces this new sort of Kana-esque persona from her Japan days. And I think it will really bring a new life to the feud. And obviously Bianca's still massively over with the fans. I just hope that this win doesn't like make her become the John Cena-esque style Superman character that we saw back in the mid-2000s, and then people start to sour on her. Like, I really hope it doesn't come to that, because she does brilliantly as a face character. But I am reluctantly going to go with Bianca to win this one.
Ryan and Jack do have quite a bit. I think everyone in that team has a chance to be on WrestleMania, or to get poised at WrestleMania. They've got Kevin Owens, Becky Lynch has been mentioned, they've got Dakota Kai, Alpha Academy, who definitely aren't winning that four-way match. They got Paul Heyman and Solo Sikoa, who could come out and get involved in the match with Roman Reigns, and even Solo Sikoa could make an appearance during the tag match against Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. So, not a bad team that they put together, but I think Kevin Owens is maybe their best scorer, or will be their best scorer on the night.
I think as long as I believe they've still got the captaincy applied on Kevin Owens, so a title win at Mania would be wonderful for a pair of fannies. And I reckon the Usos are the most likely to drop their championships. So I think they've got a good chance to score some big points at Mania. Is it going to be enough to win? I don't think so. But still, all the best to finish on a high.
We got the Goats Incarnate. Everyone except MJF that they have on their team is going to be on Mania for the Goats Incarnate. They have McIntyre and Sheamus in the Triple Threat, Finn Balor in the Hell in a Cell against Edge, Charlotte Flair and Rhea Ripley. They both have, I think, Rhea as their captain, and they have Bianca Belair. I mean, we were all saying that you shouldn't pick the both women's champions because they'll both probably lose at Mania. I mean, Charlotte Flair only picked up 11 points so far, with Bianca 21. Rhea, on the other hand, is on 2 points. But how do you think this is going to work out points-wise when Rhea and Charlotte, you know, because I think they're going to get points one way or another, but they might lose more points if Rhea loses, which she probably shouldn't do, given that she's their captain.
I think I'd be genuinely surprised if Rhea didn't walk away with a win here. And I think that's the reason why Goats Incarnate had her as the number one pick, because, you know, she's been so heavily featured across this season. She's been one of the big scorers. And it almost acts as if a redemption arc for Rhea. You know, she couldn't defeat Charlotte at Mania 3 years ago. She lost. I don't think she's ever beaten her one-on-one either as well. So this would be vindication for Rhea Ripley. Although you do have Charlotte Flair, who's also on Team Goats Incarnate. So the points will be offset a little bit, but not to the point where their captain has won a title on a pay-per-view, because those are massive, massive points. But even if one of your picks loses a title on pay-per-view, that's still a significant loss in points. And if that costs them this draft, can you just imagine the outrage shown there?
And also looking at your team, Dave, because you guys, a lot of people have been saying between you guys and the Goats Incarnate. We already mentioned Raquel and Io. You guys also have Dominic Mysterio. Cody Rhodes, obviously, as we mentioned. So you seem to be the only one on Central, definitely not for biased reasons, who seem to believe that Dominic was winning his match in WrestleMania. I really think it's a case of, like, if Cody somehow doesn't win and they want to go for this whole 1,000 days with Roman, if Cody loses and like Rhea and like Bianca win on the GOAT side, that's what could secure them season. Maybe even Finn Balor. Because I think I'd go 50-50 on Finn Balor if he's going to win against Edge. But I think it rests on Cody and Dominic winning for your team to keep that gap open.
I'm banking on a Dom win to really help us get through here. I think damage control seems fairly likely to win, I guess, because then it resets the women's tag title picture a little bit, especially if there's rumors of a heel turn coming in. I just hope Raquel and Liv don't get pinned in the 4-way match, because they can still get points for that. I mean, I have Ronda and Shayna winning that 4-way tag match. But yeah, I'm just hoping Raquel and Liv don't get pinned, and then we're Gucci. But the big one, the very big one, is Cody. Mm-hmm. He needs to win this to secure our win. Because if anything, regardless of whatever else happens, we might still be at the top of the table, albeit maybe a few points either side. But we need that Cody captaincy win to really cement it for us. That's going to be finishing the story in style.
Yeah. I mean, it's a captaincy win, a title match at WrestleMania. I mean, let's address the neck tattoo in the room. Like, oh yeah, if those other ones all fail you, like, Cody winning is what is the last hope you guys need. And you guys are used to it coming down to the wire, because it was just an appearance by the Bloody Uso with their company Roman last year.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, the win by a ball hair. So, you know, there's a chance you could eat. So basically, there's a chance if Bianca and like Rhea and Finn all get wins in their matches, or at least two out of three, I think. And it'll come down to Spooky Bum time again. If only Rhea maybe gets the win, that would still be dominant. But if like Bianca loses, Charlotte losing points from Charlotte, Finn loses, and but you get a win from Cody and Dom, then you win by a comfortable margin.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Let's not forget the X Factor as well, Damian Priest, who could make a couple of appearance points either side. Maybe he'll show up with Rhea in our entrance. Maybe he'll show up with Balor in his entrance. He might even show up with Dom. So there's a lot of opportunity for Priest to make some appearance points and just give us that little bit extra, because overall he's actually the third highest scorer in our team for a fifth round pick, just behind MJF. But then obviously he was in the Iron Man match, so that's a number of wins overall. But appearance points wise, you know, Priest has actually been very, very valuable to the team as a whole. So all I just need is a couple more from him during Mania weekend. And then, yeah, everything will be hunky-dory.
Yes, it will. And that's... And we hope we'll all be tuning in. Yes, and we'll all be tuning in to WrestleMania with bated breath, I'm very sure. And David Gabb will be there with his keyboard at the ready to gloat or rant and say it's not fair. Whatever happens, whatever way the wind blows. So, ladies and gentlemen, that will do us for the final episode of the season, for my final episode as a host. And I do promise you from the bottom of my heart, I will try to make this one stick, unlike David Campbell. But a hell of a ride being on the show, with starting with David Campbell, then bringing Jack and Dave on, the rotating cast, and then David Campbell coming back, Ryan coming in, and I won't say who's... There will be a fourth person on SDL replacing me. I won't say who yet. Well, hold that off until... the new season starts in a couple of weeks. You know, I look forward to then trying to be the Lex Luger in 93 to my Hulk Hogan after I've departed STL Express. But yeah, I do mean it for the bottom of my heart that STL is one of the best things I think I've ever done in terms of podcasting. So it's sad to go, but it's what I got to do. And Dave, good luck to you at WrestleMania, and good luck to you, Jack and Ryan, going forward.
Yeah. And in the words of Chad Gable, I shall say to you, Scott, I thank you. Look for the rainbow in every storm. Fly like an angel, heaven sent to me. Goodbye, my friend. I know you give me such a good love, I can still feel you. Not the end. Gotta get it started before the pain turns into
Podcast Network.